how he's able to do these things. Revelation chapter number 13, and we'll start off here in verse number 4. The Bible says, "They worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him the mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And the power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 1260 days there. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name in the tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given to him of all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." Father, we pray now that you might help us as we go through these things. We realize what we're about to tread upon. And we'd ask, Lord, that you cut down on the distractions. And Lord, help us to be able to get across the things that you'd have to be taught tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think you may have a seat. Take your Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. And let me just tell you that at the root or at the base, Jeremiah chapter 23, of an individual being listened to who has this much wrong with him has to do with eroding the very foundation of from whence he speaks. In other words, if I can take away the authority, let me use, because he happens to be in uniform here, let me use Chief Daniels. He can stay a policeman, but if all of a sudden the sheriff puts out a notice that says he is no longer a policeman, it doesn't matter if he is in uniform, it doesn't matter if he's got a badge, it doesn't matter if his badge says whatever it says, he no longer has the authority on which to be able to make any arrest. Do you understand? Because his authority comes from the sheriff as ordained by the municipal code, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. All right, so here's what you need to understand. Good evening. Here's what you need to understand. What you need to understand is you have in your lap the absolute authority. And the only way that the Antichrist will be able to take over is for somebody to realize that the person is the authority and no longer the book is the authority. That's why it is very important for you to clearly understand that the authority that we recognize here is not the pastor, but the book. The pastor is not the authority. The book is the authority. He's under the authority. Any authority that he has comes because of being in line with the book. So the real authority is there. So here are the illustration. If he comes over here and says, put your hands on the wall, so on and so forth, it's not his authority that he's speaking with. He might be bigger, he might be stronger, he might be badder and so on. Just because he can handcuff me, his authority doesn't come from being able to contain me. His arrest power comes from him being under somebody else. Now, he may have a whole bunch under him, but he doesn't have any authority unless he is under authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what's important for you to understand is what's being eroded nowadays is the way the church is set up. There's no longer that authority of the Bible that now takes control of everything. Now it becomes in Laodicea. What does everybody think? How does everybody feel? What works best for you? Oh, you want the Harlem Shovel? No problems. Oh, you want us to have a noise ordinance filed against us, a complaint because our rock music in the church is too loud? Okay, well, that's fine. Whatever it is you want, what makes you happy instead of the authority? When that happens, it begins the eroding of the authoritative system that God set up, and it puts the person in charge instead of the book in charge. That's a real dangerous thing. So in Jeremiah 23, not only has this happened historically to Israel, but it'll also happen again. The Bible says this in verse number 1, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture!" Exclamation point. Now, he's giving a warning, and he's warning pastors, but I'm going to show you what the pastors are doing in order to scatter the sheep, because he doesn't leave you guessing what that is. Y'all all talk about the fact that, hey, you know what, we want to hear the preaching at the people, but we sure would like to see the preacher get preached at. Well, the Lord preaches at me and this pastor and this passage. Notice the Bible says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord." Now, he goes on down here and he's talking about the remnant of Israel and those kind of things. But I want you to notice why they are profane and why it is that God no longer respects them, because they're not doing what God told them to do. If you look over in the book of Zechariah, you'll find that there's a fellow over there by the name of the idol, I-D-O-L, shepherd. And that idol shepherd does nothing but take care of himself and watch out for himself. And he doesn't feed the flock. The Apostle Paul says this in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the flock of God. The predominant thing is to feed. I know that nowadays it's kind of like, well, you're supposed to entertain us. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which is lost. So what God says a pastor's supposed to do is feed you. Well, that doesn't mean a potluck supper every Wednesday night. I'm supposed to feed you with sheep food. If you're a saved, born-again believer, feeding you comes from this book. It's important for you to get a hold of. You're not intended to stay a baby runt Christian all your life. But in order for you to grow, you have to grow from not only the sincere milk of the Word, but you ought to also have meat to go along with that. And then he says also strong meat. So it's not just milky all the whole rest of the time. Now the Lord's fixing to spank the preachers here, and he's going to show you how it is that preachers are. Verse 11. Both the prophet and the priest. I'm sorry, 10. The land is full of adultery, for because of swearing, the land mourneth. Pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up in the course of evil, for their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house they have found wickedness in the Lord. How are they profane? Wherefore their way shall be unto them slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on. Sheep are never driven any time in the Bible except to the butcher. You don't drive, force, or push sheep. You're supposed to lead sheep. So people say, well, you need to hurry up and get them to do this. You need to get them to do that. They need to be doing this. They need to be doing that. Well, I just think you got to do this. Hey, slow down a minute, man. Just get out there and lead and let them follow. You say, why? Well, baby sheep can't keep up with adult sheep. And old sheep have a tendency to get back around the baby sheep. So what you have to learn to do is that you lead at the pace, listen to me, that the flock is able to keep up with. Not everybody. David goes over there in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, and he comes back from Ziklag over there, and he says, you know, the whole place has been burned up, and he goes and asks the Lord for the ephod and the priest and that kind of thing, confess to the, or talks to the Lord there, and says, Lord, shall I pursue? The Lord says, go get him, David. And the rest of the guys are ready to stone him and stuff. And David said, listen, while you guys are getting your rocks to stone me, I'm going to go out there and get the bag. They said, well, you can't get him by yourself. And he said, well, the Lord told me to go. I'm out of here. I'm talking fast. I got a long way to go tonight. So listen closely. Now, when I watch what happens, David says, okay, 600 men come up there with him, and they all take off, and they get ready to get to the brook Besor. And when they get to the brook Besor, 200 of those fellows who've been with David since he started in the cave of Adullam, they said, listen, King, we'd love to go on, and our kids are out there, and our grandkids are out there, and our property's out there. We're just too shot to do it. You know what David said? Well, you worthless, good-for-nothing, sorry people, I'm telling you what, I'll just have you. No, that ain't what he says. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You do what you can. Just sit down here by the stuff and guard this. It'll make us be able to travel lighter. And we'll just dump our packs right here. You take care of them, and we're going to go on a recon right now. And 400 of them take off. Now watch, the 400 go out there and they recover all just like the Lord says, and they're on the way back, and all of a sudden David says to him, he comes riding up there to full gallop, and he says, you know something we're going to do with all this spoil that we've gotten hold of? He said, there's some people that took care of me years ago, I'm going to send them some, and I'm going to divide some of this by the fellows that are sitting there by the brook Besor. And the Bible says the men of Belial are right there in that pack with David, and you know what they said? How come you're dividing it up with all of them people? We're the ones that fought for it. And David said, you wouldn't even be here, you little stinking pipsqueak, to fight if it hadn't been for Granddaddy sitting over there by the brook Besor that fought. You wouldn't have even been thought about if it hadn't been for them. He deserves to share in the reward. Just because he can't keep up with you now doesn't mean that you're supposed to go faster than he can. That's the hardest thing in the Christian life. Some of you are warriors. You want to get it done, get it done, get it done, get it done. This is not a corporate ladder. This is not one of these things where it's the faster I get it done, the better it is. This is about accuracy. Can I just tell you this? I talked with a young lady the other day, and I told this woman that was asking me some questions. I said, I want to know where this girl's going to be when she's 40 or 50, not where she is when she's 20. You say, well, I want to see her stay in it. But if you run them too hard, you know what you do? You run them off. Now, you're not accountable for that. You may want to see it pushed that way, but you're not accountable. The shepherd is accountable for the pace. You don't understand that, but I have to go at a pace that God says is for everybody. We're not all warriors. you know what? These guys that go out there and you fellows that have been in war before or battles before and things like that, you don't appreciate them when you're out there flinging bullets at one another and cutting each other's heads off and all that other stuff. But it sure is nice to come back to a cot that's ready for you and to have some hot food ready for you. They're just as important. They just can't travel just as fast. So I want you to understand as we go through this passage that one of the things that happens is that sometimes in Christianity we drive people to at a pace that they're unable to keep. We expect more out of our kids than we ever were at their age. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm dead on it now. I'm telling you the truth. You want them to be ahead of where you were. Let them be a kid. Okay? They mess up. Did you not know that? Kids mess up. Did you ever mess up when you were growing up? All right, let them off the mat then. Okay, they messed up. They got it coming to them. Then let them breathe a little bit and let's try to keep them in and keep them moving. But if you get moving too fast, you know what happens? You'll lose the little ones and you'll lose the old ones. And then you'll have nothing but a bunch of warriors. And you know what warriors do? They kill things. And then you know what you have? You have people killing each other. Because if you can't find something to kill, you're going to kill somebody. So you have to learn to humble yourself and travel at a slower pace. Sometimes a leader leads best from the back of the pack than he does from the front. Doesn't always have to be in the front showing everybody, look at all I'm doing. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Yes, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm there, I'm there, I'm there, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Boy, what a great leader. Yeah, you're so far behind, you think you're first. No, sometimes you drop back to the back and encourage the little ones along and encourage the old ones along and that kind of a thing. The warriors, they take care of themselves. You know, they're self-sustaining and independent. Your day's coming. You get old one day. You get a new Christian in here, a baby Christian in here. Don't be trying to jam the doctrine of deep down their throat. Teach them some things about the Christian life. Have some fellowship with them. Be nice to them. Be kind to them. Don't slap their NIV out of their hand. They don't know any better. They're coming. Give us a chance to work on it. Well, preacher, you need to address so-and-so, a fellow just told me 2 weeks ago. You need to deal with this right now. And I said, good night, brother. Relax. We'll get to it when we get to it. I said, I actually pray about it and ask the Lord what to preach. Yeah, but this has got to be dealt with. You need to deal with this. And I said, brother, relax, man. The Holy Spirit will speak to him even if I don't. I said, I could take a vote of the people in here right now. I could preach a message on salvation and somebody over here is hearing under conviction about this and somebody over here is getting help and getting some comfort and somebody over here feels like they're going to hell just as sure as the world and somebody over here is going to burn up rewards at the judgment seat of Christ and I'm just preaching for by grace are you saved through faith. I said, the Holy Spirit will get to them. What's the big deal? Did somebody wrinkle your paper or something? What's the matter? Well, you know, the church of God's got to have someone. I said, brother, you need to go start a church. And I said, but let me teach you something that I learned the hard way. You don't always preach at what you see. And I said, it's a shame, but you're seeing one thing. But I said, on Sunday morning, I got a house full of people. And I said, the fact of the matter is what you're wanting attacked is what you've seen in maybe one or two individuals. And I'm not going to spend an entire service dealing with one or two people that you got something stuck in your craw about. That's the life of a pastor. Well, I don't want to preach it, and I don't want to, but I can tell you what you need to preach on. You're compromising because you're not preaching on this issue here of women's dress. So you think holiness is how somebody's clothed? How come you're so interested in somebody else's wife anyway? I said, listen, man, I prayed for years and years for the pews to be filled. I'm glad they're here. I'm not looking at what they're wearing. And when I'm in the pulpit, I can't see what they're wearing. I could care less. Well, I'm a big compromiser now. Listen, I think you ought to dress right. Modest apparel, the Bible says, right? Come on, doesn't it? All right, well, govern yourself accordingly. You big boys and girls, you ought to be able to handle that. The Bible says this. The Bible says, they shall be driven on and fall therein, and I will bring evil upon them, even as a year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Watch it. I have seen the folly of the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal, so they got another spirit to them. Cause my people of Israel to err. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. Watch it. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers. Well, how do they do that? Well, you don't have to repent. And there's no price to pay and you can sin and don't worry about it. Everything's good. We're all good. I mean, the wages of sin isn't really death. Isn't that what he said in Genesis chapter 3? They strengthen the hands of evildoers. In other words, they won't take a stand for what's right. So by not taking a stand for what's right, they wind up conversely making people feel comfortable for doing wrong. And we're not talking about haircuts and hemlines here. There are certain things you should separate yourself from. You say, why? I'm not going to make you feel comfortable about doing it. If you want to do wrong, help yourself. But don't think you're going to soothe your conscience with my attendance in your wickedness. I'm not going to be a part of it. So if you want to be, that's your business. Free country, you can do whatever you want to do. But I'm not going to go do that and condone that behavior and say, well, you know, I just want to be one of the guys and I want to be a good testimony. I'm being a good testimony. I ain't going. I ain't doing it. I ain't having a part of it. You say, well, now you're judging people. Yes, you're right. I am. I have enough sense to judge that if that's what they're going to do, it's going to lead the Bible. If the Bible's right, evil communications corrupt good manners. Is that right? You cannot tell me that liquor, cigarettes, and rock and roll music is not an evil communication. I don't care what world you live in. It is going to corrupt good manners. No matter how good your manners are, the next thing you know, when you start cotton picking, sucking down them suds and sucking on them cigarettes, you're going to start listening to country western, you're going to start listening to rock and roll, and the next thing you know, things are going to slip a little bit, things are going to slide a little bit, and next thing you know, you're going to be justifying doing stuff you got no business doing. You say, why? Because the Bible is true. Shun vain and profane babblings. What is a vain babbling? It's one of those things we'll get to in a second that makes you feel good about yourself. And oh, I don't want you to come into church and feel bad about yourself. And you know what? I just really think and I just really feel. We don't care what you think. We don't care how you feel. We care what the Bible says. Oh, now preacher, you can't say that. No, you can't say that. You see, what I'm supposed to do is not strengthen your hands in evil doing. That's what a real preacher is supposed to do. You live in a nation nowadays that won't tell you that there's any wrong with anything. We've just slid the line and slid the line and slid the line. It's like, well, what's wrong anymore? There ain't nothing wrong anymore. We just all do whatever we want. That's the book of Judges being repeated, that every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Well, I'll just make my own private interpretation of that. Well, you're going to head for a ditch when you do that. The Bible said you'll be driven on in that line. So what you're supposed to do when the preacher comes is, under the conviction of the Holy Ghost, is go, hey, I got no business doing that. Why do you get mad at the preacher? You do something that's wrong and then you get upset because of how somebody responds to your wrong. How dare them say anything to me? If you hadn't have done it, you wouldn't have nothing said to you. You ain't going to get no sympathy from me and be like, well, who are they to say something to me? Hey, you had no business doing what you did, stupid. Well, I'm going to leave the church. Nobody's going to be able to do it. Who later cast the stone at me? You did it. And then you'll be the first one to stand up and say, I believe if they're guilty, they ought to go ahead and just accept responsibility for it. Why don't you accept responsibility for your own actions? Instead of getting mad at somebody who outed you. They told something. Why are you making them keep it secret? What's the matter? Are you worried? Afraid something will happen there? Afraid you might have to pay full price? So you put that burden on them. You say, oh, no. Hold on a minute, preacher. No, you hold on a minute. I'm trying to tell you there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And in the last days, you know what you need? You need a cotton-picking tune-up every now and then to realize I'm not here to strengthen your hands in wrongdoings, not only in deeds, but in doctrine. You want to run off the ditch in a doctrinal issue? Don't expect no sympathy from me. Well, I just think, you know, the real interpretation of that, okay, we don't believe that here. Well, you should be a little kinder about it. I'm not done for tonight. But as soon as you cast doubt on that book, you remove the authority and you become a part of the Antichrist movement to make himself the authority in a person's life. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says they walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers that none doth return from his wickedness. They don't quit. They become a part of it. Because, hey, you know what? All things to all men that I might win some. I just want to go out there and be something for God. Okay? Be something for God. Be a stoplight. No, I ain't going. I ain't listening. I ain't looking. I ain't drinking. But you know what you do? You go through the line and buy you a six-pack and then hand the person a tract. Yeah. Real good Christian, aren't you? Solid. What would you think about it if you caught me? Do they have Jack's Liquors anymore? ABC Liquors, is that still around? Back in the day, that was the big deal. What would you think if you had people that had a drive-through there? And you drive by one day and you see a beige Tahoe pulling through there. And you look over there and Well, what's he doing in that line? I'm witnessing. Yeah. Give me a whatever you drink. I don't know. But you give me one of them things that I'm not supposed to have in the name of Jesus, you know. Or no, I'm just pulling through the line just to witness to you and hand you a track. I don't want to partake. You know what you'd think you'd pull it? You'd say, I'd say, I didn't drink. You know what you'd say? Sure, what were you doing there? How'd you even know the address?
Right. Right.
But you know what modern Christianity says? Ah, go ahead.
Yep.
You know why? Keep you coming to church and keep your wallet coming.
Yes, sir.
Why? I wouldn't want to run you off. Cole said the other day, a month ago. You know what he said? He made this statement. He said, the way you preach is almost as if you don't want people to come to church. Now, do you think that was funny to me? You think I like to hear that? You know what I thought to myself? I thought, you know something? God bless your heart. Why would you think that and say something like that? I'm just simply telling you what the Bible says. Why would you say I'm trying to run people off?
Amen.
Shouldn't the truth draw you?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, why would you say something like that? Unless you're wanting me to back off so you feel good about yourself. If you're sinning, you shouldn't feel good about yourself. And don't put your guilt on me. You bear the full weight of that thing because of the foolishness you've done. It ain't my fault you messed up and you're not going to use me. Well, the preacher never told me. Bless God, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to strengthen your hands. I'm not going to help you. And I'm not going to tell you you shouldn't turn from it. Notice what he says in the Bible here. They are all of them as Sodom and the inhabitants of Gomorrah. He's talking about his comparison to these pastors here are no better than the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. They're committing queer homosexuality. Not just ordaining queers. It has to do with God sees them from a doctrinal standpoint as that they're no better than a homosexual. That's God's comparison. Notice what he says, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, type picture of what's going on in the tribulation period, make them drink the water of gall, from the prophets to the Jerusalem, the profane that's gone forth in the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, they make you vain. Well, anybody in here know what vain is? Pumped up, believing positive about yourself? I'm okay, you're okay. It's a wonderful day. Everybody's fine. Everybody's doing good. We all have problems. We're in this thing together kind of stuff. The Bible says that kind of preaching makes you vain. You know what he says? You're not supposed to listen to them. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that are despised, the Lord hath said, and ye shall have peace. And they say, notice they say, unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. They say. God didn't say that.
Right.
Notice what happens if you come on down just a little bit further. The Bible says this in verse number 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way. Why? The Word of God doesn't return void.
Right.
You don't bat 1,000, but you turn one or two of them around.
Right.
Verse 29, quickly, because I got somewhere to go. The Bible says, is not my word like unto a fire? Not nowadays. It ain't even a match. Nowadays, there's no fire in any preaching nowadays. God gets up and preaches and he's kind of like, how do you feel about that? Get up like a stuffed shirt and get up and give you some theological thing to make you think, wow, he's real intellectual, but no bark at all. And all just, yow, 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 yow. Okay, let's have a nice day now. Love everybody and love everything and get along with everybody and you'll be a good Christian. No, you won't. He says it's like a fire. What does a fire do? It heats things up. It burns things up. But then if you didn't get the illustration, he goes on a little bit further. It's not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord. You understand why it's important to preach the word and not your own opinion? You see, their own opinion right there, they say, made them vain. Didn't make them turn from their... But their word is intended to burn up the wrong things. Fire's to purify you. Watch what happens. The Bible says, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. You mean it's supposed to have a wallop to it? Yeah, that's what it means. It means it's supposed to have a wallop to it. All right, look if you will, please, with me quickly. The book of Deuteronomy. We're going to move quick. Deuteronomy. He says the word's what needs to be preached. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Preacher, you don't understand. Times have changed. I'm wore out with that. They ain't changed enough to correct the book. Deuteronomy 4. The book is still right. So you need to get some more education. The book is still right.
Amen.
So I just don't like that. Okay, well that's fine. The Bible says you wouldn't like that. The Bible says it doesn't relieve the preacher from having to preach it. I'm more out with this sophisticated Christianity nowadays. With this, let me try to reason with you like I'm a lawyer in a court case or something. I'm not here to do that with you. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says, and I believe what the Bible says. Well, you can be wrong. Let me ask you a question. Why are you here? If all you're here to do is, you could be wrong about that. Well, why are you here then? Why don't you go somewhere where you can kick back and relax and say, what does the Bible say? And when the Bible says, you can say, okay, fine, the Bible says that, the preacher's doing the best he can, so good, I'm good with that. Where is it that it crept in? Well, you can be wrong, you know. Easy there, big fella. How come you're so upset about that? I guarantee you it's not what I said, it's how I said it. Modern preachers nowadays, they get up, you know what they do? They soothe your ears. They soothe your conscience. They make you feel good about it. Well, everybody messes up, you know, that kind of a thing. Why don't you hit the altar and get right about it? Deuteronomy chapter number 4, if you would please, and look, if you will, in verse number 2. 4:2. The movement of the Antichrist is to remove the authority in your life. You have the Holy Spirit. You don't want to do what's right to do? Then go ahead and get mad about it. I'll live to see a day where you're completely converted, 100%, not just for salvation. God's going to hold you accountable. There's some of you sitting here tonight, right now, and you know you're doing stuff that's contrary to the Bible, and you're mad at everybody else instead of looking at your own self and saying, I need to get that thing right. Amen. Sitting right there on your blessed assurance, claiming to be saying, "Woo, hallelujah, praise the Lord," and it gets like this, and you're kind of like, I don't like that. Well, are you too sophisticated for that? You've gotten too uppity. You don't think that they can talk to you that way. What's up with that? I know what it is. I know what it is. Let's put a bit and a bridle in his mouth and control him. Chapter 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. What does he say? Don't add anything to it. Is that what he said? Psalms 138. We're just getting started now. Psalms 138. This is the most important doctrine in the Bible, what I'm going to show you tonight. You say, about the pastors? No, I'm going to show you the reason the pastors got there was because they quit. By the way, they had the Old Testament when that book's written. You know what happens? They begin to divert from that, no longer having authority, so they just speak from their own heart what's best for the people. Well, you don't know what's best for the people. I don't know what's best for the people. I get up and preach on something. I guess it's the best. I don't know. I just preach what the Lord wants me to preach. I don't know how could you figure that? I send you cards out every day. What do we take popular opinion? Oh, we have a vote here wants eternal security. We have one needs a message on salvation. We have one here that wants to talk about revelation. We have one here to talk about the Antichrist. We have one here that needs marital help. And we have one here that needs financial help. What are you supposed to do with that? Put them all in the car, shake them up, and throw them up? A hat, throw them up? No, you just preach whatever God has you do and let the Holy Spirit minister to them, whatever. But if you're like me, I think right now I need ice cream. I do. But I know I better not have ice cream and magic shell this time of night. But I think I need it. But I don't know what's good for me. I might need some broccoli and almonds and go to sleep. Have ice cream tomorrow for breakfast. Psalms 138, verse number 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple. You're going to want to mark these verses. And praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Watch it. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, did you get what I just said there? All right, now think about this for just a second in context. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is God to the glory of God the Father, that He is the Lord, He is the Lord, glory of God the Father. Is that right? So would you agree that the name of Jesus Christ is a pretty major name? I mean, they're healing in the name of Jesus, and they're casting out devils in the name of Jesus, and right, they're baptizing in the name of, they're doing all kind of works in the name of. So would you agree that's a pretty important name? I magnified my word above my name. You understand why I'm real careful about messing with that book? The name of Jesus is pretty important. So if He says my word's above my name, that means He just, you got to get this, put Himself in subjection to His own word. You know the greatest protection you ever had was that when the Lord said, it is written, and He said, I have sealed them to the day of redemption. You know what that means? I'm binding myself to my own words. That word is greater than my name is, and therefore I'm going to do what it said right there. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift, it's the gift, it's the gift of God, not of works. I say, if any man shall confess, then I will. Right? So you know what he said? He said, I'm under that authority and I can't go outside that. So when you get to heaven, the Lord says, why in the cat hair should I? He wouldn't say cat hair. He said, why should I let you up here? You know what you can say? You wrote it.
Amen.
And you said your word was above your name. And the Lord will say,
amen.
Okay, you got me there. Enter the door of the Lord.
Amen.
That's your protection.
Amen.
How come he don't put you in hell when you mess up? Because he said that you're sealed to the day of redemption. He said you're going to heaven. He said once he saved you from hell, you don't have to worry about hell anymore. You say why? Cause of the word.
Amen.
That's why I am majorly messed up when it comes to, well, the better interpretation would be, oh, whoa, 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 man. I'd have to be above Jesus and above the word to be able to correct the word. All right, notice what the Bible says, if you will, please, in Revelation chapter... Oh, let's stop at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. These are things on the King James Bible. And Psalms 12, 6 and 7, he says, forever. How long is forever?
Forever.
Would you say that's a long time? Forever. Has anybody got it real quick? Psalm 12, 6, make sure I quote it right. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. How long?
Forever.
Well, if it's settled up there, why would you say, well, the original interpretation should be? Why don't you confess you're stupid and be done with it tonight? Okay, King James Bible is the Word of God. You get over there in the book of Ephesians, he talks about one this and one this and one this and one this and one this. We'll get there in a second. And then 500 translations of the Bible. The precedent is set in the book of Ephesians that there's one baptism and there's one Christ and there's one this and one this and one this. So you're going to have one book.
Amen.
You're not going to have a multitude of... You educated people, you're going to take the stew out of me. You're on my territory right now. Preacher, you need to get... You're on my territory right now, buddy. I'm telling you right now, I don't care if you've got 500 translations. They ain't none of them worth nothing. You just go light your fireplace with them or throw them in the trash can. They ain't no good. You say, why? One book. And I got enough courage to tell the people one book. I don't want to be their authority. I want the book to be their authority. I know what can happen. You sit down and read that book. The Holy Ghost will take care of you. But if you pick up one of them pink Bibles, that's what I call it. You pick up one of them pink, Holy Ghost don't talk to you. You say, why? You got him talking out of a perversion. He ain't perverted. He ain't no little queer Jesus and queer Holy Spirit. No, no, no. He's not perverted. He don't speak to you out of that like he speaks out of you. Well, you know, I was in my Bible study today and I just believe the Lord. Yeah, the Bible says they say. The Bible says in the last days, they come up there in Matthew 25 in front of the Lord. Lord, did we not cast off devils in your name? Did we not heal the sick? Did we not do that? And the Lord said, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil. I never knew who you were. You can do all the stuff you want in my name. That don't mean it is in my name.
Right.
Notice what the Bible says, Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 5. You say, preacher, we already know this. Good, time for a rehash. Every W-O-R-D. Not some of them. Every word of God is what?
Pure.
Well, if it's pure, why would you mess with it? You know what it means if it's pure? It means it's from a pure source. Watch it. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Do you see the connection with every word of God and putting your trust in Him is like putting your trust in what He says? Watch it. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Amen.
Revelation 22. Oh, preacher, I know what it says, but, yeah, I know, I got it. Butts are for goats.
Amen.
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 Revelation chapter 22. Now we're going to run some verses after this. Verse number 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words, W-O-R-D-S, the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Watch it, book of Revelation. Now watch 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book. Ah, little change there. Of the book, of this prophecy, God shall take away the tribulation of the millennium, his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You know what he says? He says he'll take away your part out of the book of life.
Right.
You think I'm going to have a Greek scholar take me out of my part out of the book of life? He can't take my name out of the book of life. It doesn't say your name out of the book of life. It says your part. Rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. You know what he says over in the book of Matthew? He holds those individuals that are teaching false doctrine. He says it's prepared for you a place in the lowest hell. Because you're teaching from an unpure source. So, well, preacher, you could be wrong and this and that and the other. You need to cast some of your doubts aside and put your faith in the Lord. You think the Lord's going to intentionally mislead you? You must not trust yourself. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. That just gives you wiggle room. Amen. This gives you wiggle room. You're trying to cast doubt on the authority. I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm giving you what the Bible says. Well, I'm going to leave. Okay, so here's what you just said to me. You just said to me, you either change what you believe the Bible says to what I believe it says, or I'm out of here. So who's trying to say what the Bible says? You just said what you're accusing me of. You won't change your mind. You're right, I won't. Well, if you don't change your mind like my mind, I'm out of here. You just said the same thing. You know what that Bible says about that? An heretic out of the first and second admonition to reject, knowing that he that subverted the sinneth against his own heart. Well, how come you have a hard time with that? I find somebody that goes contrary to the book, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be kind, sweet, nice, and gentle, and because I know what will happen. That Bible says it will increase to more ungodliness. They'll get somebody in a Bible study at their house and say, well, now I know what the preacher says, but I got a church right now that's dealing with a guy that's been having private lessons over here with people in the church, and the next thing you know, they got a split going on because, well, how come you can't talk about something other than what the preacher's saying? You know what the topic was? His topic. He didn't agree with the preacher, and so what he said was, let's sit down and I'll show you what the Bible really says. Well, good, great. He just played right into the hands of the devil and tore the church all to pieces. And now that whole thing's fixing to tear apart. Why would you do that? But can I ask you a question? Why would not an individual like that go ahead and start their own work? Why do they got to pick off a work that's already going on? Why would they do that? I don't understand that. What right was it they got to walk into the chicken house and demand a hamburger? We don't believe that. You don't expect me to be nice to people. They come in here and try to persuade me to accept tongues. I don't care if it's your sweet, dear, sainted grandma. I'm going to tell her, ma'am, we don't believe that. I'll be nice. But I'm not going to let it corrupt the body of Christ.
Amen.
Just because, well, grandma's a real sweet old woman. Well, she's demented.
Right.
Or demon-possessed.
Right.
Well, you can't say that. See, you don't understand the significance of spiritual things. Right. It's all your flesh. How do you feel now? How do you feel now? I don't like that church. They're not nice. I don't like this. You're not even thinking about eternity.
Right.
Who cares if nobody likes you? Are you getting the truth? Yes or no? If you are, stay. If you're not, then pack up and go where you can get it. My aching back, man. They didn't speak to me. They didn't have cupcakes for my birthday. Are you getting the truth? That's beside the point. Why were you coming in the first place? They didn't put my picture in the bulletin. I joined the church 6 months ago, and here's a fella, and he just joined, and they got his picture in there. And the babies are dedicated, and their picture's in there. And I joined, they didn't even put my picture in there. Are you getting the truth? That's beside the point. See, it's this earthly stuff. What we're dealing with right now is eternal stuff. Now, I'm going to be a little while tonight, so just buckle up, or if you need to go, go. Watch what the Bible says. Chapter number said, if you'd shut up and just read. I know, but it's hard. Verse number, chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again. Watch it. Not of corruptible seed. What is that? But incorruptible comparison by the Word of God, the incorruptible seed. Which liveth and abideth how long?
Forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's telling you that the Word of God is incorruptible. When you put your cotton picking hands on it and change it, you just corrupted it. You just messed with my salvation. You can't do that. It's holy Bible. That means keep your paws off. Watch, the flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as a flower of grass, and grass withered, flower fadeth. But the word of the Lord endureth how long?
Forever.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So he's making a comparison there. Come, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to show you that word corruptible, why that's important. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So if I'm born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, I don't want anybody messing with the pure source. If somebody messes with the pure source, then brings my salvation into question. See, you people are too intelligent for me. I just take it for what it says. You're too smart. You're like, well, I know what it says, but I just really believe it. You know, we've learned after 2,000 years on this earth that certain things, when the translator sat down in 1611, I've already turned you off, man. To me, you're no better than watching the news. I flip that off. I ain't got no business watching you. I'd rather watch cartoons than listen to that foolishness. You say, why? Because I'm not changing. I'm not changing. You're wasting your breath. My question would be, why are you wasting your breath on me? Go talk to a Catholic. Why are you trying to convert me? I'm not going to be converted. I'm not backing off of it. You may see me at the judgment seat of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. You may see me standing up there and the Lord go, Peacock, you kind of took that thing like, you just like, a little too serious, man. I mean, you know, I'd be like, okay, Lord, you're right, I did, but I just believe what you said. I don't believe He'll say that. The Bible says this in verse number 17, the Apostle Paul here, and talking about the sweet savor of Christ and talking about living for Christ and maybe having to die for Christ. Verse 16, death to death. And then all of a sudden this verse shows up to show you that if there's going to be a Christian life, there's going to be suffering and sacrifice and tribulation connected with it. That's in verses 15 and 16. 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. Oh, what do you mean? We make it say something it don't say about suffering and sacrifice. And in every other Bible, they have the word peddle there, which means like to peddle it or to sell it for profit or whatever. That's not what it means at all. Corrupt means corrupt. You're not born together of a seed that can be corrupted. You're born of an incorrupted seed. Somebody's corrupting it. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. You know what He said? We're not going to change what it says about suffering and sacrifice, even though that's not going to make your day, so to speak. And the Apostle Paul starts off in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and every book in the Bible has something to do that Paul wrote with suffering and sacrifice. Take your Bible and come to 2nd Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, you should be marking these verses. You say, why? Well, because one day you're going to think, well, I wonder why the King James Bible is the Word of God. Because the Word of God says it's the Word of God. And you say, well, you just believe that because somebody... No, I believe it. I'm showing you the Bible. I never one time said a man told me this, a man taught me that, and say it at all. This is God speaking to me. Listen, for me, when He said, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven, I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. What word does He mean? I already know. The Holy Spirit already bore witness to me. I know what it is. It's the King. The rest of them are cheap remakes of it. They're do-overs. Notice the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Are you there? 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And look at verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Whoa, what? Well, if it's given by inspiration of God, what are you doing putting your hands on it? All Scripture. All Scripture. And is profitable for doctrine. What's doctrine? What's right? Reproof. What's that? What's not right? For correction. Get it right. For instruction. Keep it right. That'd be a good sermon. And instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what He says right there? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God breathed. You say, what do you believe? I believe they wrote it and God said, and gave it life. The Bible says that Adam over there, if you will, John chapter number 10, the Bible says that Adam over there, when he came around, God made man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know what I think makes that Bible living? It's God breathing on it. I believe that. So you believe it's alive? Yeah, I believe it's alive. I sure do. So you're a bibliolater. I'll cut it out, man. Well, don't ever exalt the Bible above Jesus. It is Jesus, man. I know it's paper and ink. I got it. I got that, okay? Smart aleck. I got that. But that's God's Word. I treasure Him.
Amen.
If my wife wrote me a letter. It's in the front of my Bible here because there's a rough time going on and I was packing up to go somewhere. And she snuck a letter in my... It's one of these pages in here. I promise it's in there, baby. All these notes. Yeah, right here is a letter. I won't read you and bother you with it, but she wrote me this letter. And she wrote that letter when I was going through some stuff and I was packed up and she couldn't go with me anywhere. And she's telling me to preach good and all that other kind of stuff and so on and so forth and glean what you can and get back to me. I love you, your devoted wife. You know what that means to me? That's more than money to me. That's precious to me. Well, how come what the book that your Savior wrote to you is not precious to you? Those are words of eternal life. My wife are just love letter. Love letter. That's words of life. Why wouldn't you appreciate that? You say, why? I'm saved by what's written in a book. I never saw Jesus. Did you? I never saw Calvary. Did you? No. You know what you do? You believe the words on a page. Now, if you understood heaven and hell the way that some of us ought to, you know what you'd do? You'd appreciate those words. Wouldn't you? Treat it a little by kindly, wouldn't you? If a kid were to grab a hold of that Bible and try to mark her letter out, I'd be upset. Is that why? That's the originals. That's the only copy I got. All right, John chapter number 10, if you would please. Look in verse number 35. John chapter 10, verse number 35. If he called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, and, watch it, the Scripture, what? Not according to modern scholars. They can break it wherever they want to break it. He says you can't break it. There's nothing you can do about it. Matthew chapter 5. Just have a few of these. About 25 more of them. Let the Bible bear witness to you. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse number 18. 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass not one, oh, notice one jot, one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Till heaven and earth pass. Well, when would that be? Say, well, at the end of the millennium, heaven and earth passes away. Yeah, and he creates a new heaven and a new earth. So when does he mean that it's going to be? Forever, if the other passages are right. You know what he said? There's some things that are written about eternity in this book. It's not all for right now. There's some things written far out and beyond the millennial kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. There's some stuff that has to do with eternity out there. That's an eternal book. The very idea that God's billions of years that way and billions of years that way, but hey, only thing we know about 6,000 years. Where'd you get that? Some man had to teach you that. That's an eternal book written by an eternal God. It's not just written for a 6,000-year time period. It's written from eternity to eternity. See how selfish you are about that? It's got to be just to me. It's got to be to me. It's got to be to me. I wish you'd treat it like it was to you. You're always trying to look for reasons to get out of it. You bring out your stinking dispensational scalpel and cut every verse in it you don't like. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Pages turn. Pages turn. Matthew 24. Verse 35. See, this is redundant. Okay, well, good. Be bored to death. Watch it. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You believe they'll pass away? Well, you can go ahead and believe it if you want. I don't believe they will. Matthew chapter 19, back up just a little bit. Matthew chapter 19. Here the Lord quotes the Old Testament. Now, why would the Lord quote the Old Testament? Unless it was His words. Matthew 19, verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read, have you not read, have you not read, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. Be good for our rainbow brethren to read that. And said, for this cause, amen. That's called, they have a new name for that now. It's called a disease now. It's labeled as a disease. You know what it's called? It's called PCS. I'm dead serious. It's labeled now as PCS. You know what it is? Politically correct speech. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. The Lord's quoting the Old Testament. Come over a little bit further, if you will, please. Luke chapter number 21. Luke 21. Stop in Luke 4. Now, I don't know these off the top of my head. I know a lot of these, but I don't know these off the top of my head, so I have the benefit of writing them down while I'm studying. You say, why are you showing us this, preacher? To show you the authority. Yes, so that some of you that don't know why I don't mess with that book and why I'm dogmatic about that, so you understand where your pastor believes. I'm not your boss. He is. It'd be like this. You understand? I'm under him. Remember the illustration? You know what? Jesus Christ even said that. Let me show you that. You ready? Manning's all right. Don't worry about him. He's cool. All right, watch this. Here's the Lord. He's standing in front of Pilate. You know what he says? I have no power given to me except it be from the Father above. You mean you're under... Yeah, I'm under his authority. That authority principle is all through the Bible. That's the thing men have a problem with. So you have a problem with what the preacher says. Most times it's a problem with the book. It ain't the preacher. Verse 4, Jesus answered him saying, it is written, it is written, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, if you treated that thing like food, then you wouldn't appreciate it when somebody decides to cut some of your portions out, would you? Luke chapter 16. Job said, I esteem thy word more than my necessary food. Do you? You'd rather read the Bible than eat your meal? You know what that Bible said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded that. Why would you take a word out?
Amen.
Do you study?
That's good. Right. Good.
You ever study that passage or that pamphlet came out about the NIV? Something like 50,000 words taken out of the thing? See, it's just the these and thous. Every word, ladies and gentlemen. Every word, every word, every word, every word. Well, the New King James, preacher, it doesn't. Every word, every word, every word. There's places in the New King James that take out in the Book of Mark entire passages and puts it down at the bottom and says, in the best manuscripts, this passage is not there. You know what they're quoting? They're quoting Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. They're quoting Catholic manuscripts, and they're calling Catholic manuscripts the best manuscripts. Your manuscripts did not come from Alexandria, Egypt. They came from Antioch. But they fool you because they got THD behind their name or PhD behind them, doctor in front of their name, and you think, well, he says it's not in the best manuscript. You know what the passage is on? It's on salvation before baptism. It's the Ethiopian eunuch getting dumped. Put it in the margin because the clearest and best translations don't show this. My foot, God put it in the King James Bible. That's where it's supposed to be. You say, why? Baptism doesn't save you. Luke chapter number 16. The Bible says this in verse 17. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. That's pretty serious stuff he's saying there. Lord, you're kind of whacked out there. You're taking this thing a little too serious. Luke 21. Only got about five or six more here. Luke 21. In the New Testament. Luke 21. Verse 30. Oh, let's see. 3. There it is. Here it is again. Heaven and earth shall not pass. Really? Heaven and earth shall pass away. Okay. At the end of the millennium they do. But guess what goes on? His words. You know why? The creative power of His word after the millennium is how He creates the new heaven and the new earth. So though you see heaven and earth pass away, the Lord says, oh, by the way, for those of you idiots that believe that everything opens and closes with man, I just want to let you know that after heaven and earth are done away with, the book is still here. Can I ask you this question? For those of you who have a little matchbox God and think He can't think past the millennial kingdom, can I ask you this question? What's going to govern you in the millennium and then what's going to govern you in eternity? What's going to govern the people on earth? Why, it'll be a book sure as I'm standing here.
Amen.
He gave Moses the law, didn't he? Say, well, you know, where are the originals? Moses don't even have the originals. He busted the first originals. Don't you remember? The originals. There ain't no originals. He busted them. The other group is in the Ark of the Testimony. Where is it at? In heaven. So where are they? Well, we can't have a real Bible. Jehudi goes over there in the book of Jeremiah. Jehudi goes over there and he, you know, cuts out the thing with the pen knife over there and throws it in the fire. And Jeremiah says, okay, let's see, Jehudi, come here, scribe. Here's what you need. Thus saith the Lord. And he gives him the whole thing. Originals. That's just a fancy word to keep you from checking them. Just give me the old King James. I'm just old-fashioned like that. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is pretty good, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Maybe not the ad-lib commentary, but the Scripture is. Second Peter, chapter number 1. You were in First Peter earlier. Yeah, there it is. Verse number 16. 2 Peter 1:16. The Bible says this, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is a strong one. "And were eyewitnesses of His majesty." That's on the Mount of Transfiguration. That will be in Matthew 17. Matthew 17, "There were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Type picture of His coming. So watch it now. "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him of the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" You with me? They watched the Lord transfigured in front of them. Remember that, Matthew 17? "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Whoa, wait, let's back up. You saw the Lord transfigured in front of you, and you have something more sure than that? Peter said, "Yeah, man, we got the written words. That's more sure than that." Watch it as we continue. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Holy Ghost. You know what he says? John says, "I leaned in the book of John, he says, "I leaned on the breast of Jesus." And Peter says right here, "James and John and me were up there. We saw the Lord transfigured, and we got something more sure than seeing Him transfigured. You got the book."
Amen.
And you think you can mess with that? What scholar thinks he's smart enough that he can outsmart the Holy Ghost? I know backslider thinks he can backslide. Can outsmart the Holy Ghost, but you can't if you got any brains. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is probably the definitive passage on the Bible. He'll talk about precepts over there and how wonderful the precepts are. "And Thy word have I hid in my heart, I might not sin against God. I've searched Thy precepts diligently," and so on and so forth. He runs that through. Psalms 119, we'll start off in 89. Psalms 119, verse number 89. Here he says it again in the Old Testament. "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled" where? In heaven. 140 of the same chapter. "Thy word is very pure, therefore Thy servant loveth it." Well, if it's pure, then why would you put your dirty cotton picking hands on it? Can I ask you a question? What is so hard to believe that if God can save my soul, create for me a mansion up in heaven, golden streets, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, He can have things up there, beings that are obviously very beautiful, these cherubim and seraphim up there, and He has a magnificent thing. If you believe God can do all that, why do you have such a hard time believing He can preserve a book?
Amen.
Wouldn't you say that a soul is more important than a book?
Amen.
Why do people have such a hard time with the book?
Amen.
Kidneys. That's what it is. Kidneys. They think they're smart. 160, same thing, please. "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgment endureth." How long? Psalms 12, you'll need to mark this one down. This is the one I quoted to you a while ago. Make sure I got it right. Psalms 12. Mark this one, highlight it. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times." You know what your King James Bible is? It's the combination of seven other manuscripts that came down, and it's the final one. Just a coincidence. "Purified in the furnace of earth seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation to when?" How about that? So I would say if he said he was going to preserve them, well, what he meant there was he would preserve the originals. He didn't preserve the originals. You say, "Preacher, what do you think you're going to have in heaven?" I believe you're going to have a King James Bible there. Well, I think you're whacked out. Okay. If it's perfect, why would he mess with it? Then he's been lying about all this stuff. "Well, I know y'all had the King James down there, but now that you're up in heaven, I'm going to give you the real Bible." Think that's what he's going to do? If he wouldn't withhold his son from you, I think he'd withhold his words from you. He ain't going to do it. The God some of these guys preach is this God that wants to see you fail. That ain't my God. My God wants to see you make it. You know what he does? He equips you the best way possible to try to ensure you don't. Any other God's is a schemer. He's a conniver. He's fixing it for you to fail. He's not giving you an answer to the test. You're going to flunk when you take it. Let's see. Psalms 19. Psalms 19. That's it. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Well, if that's the case, why do you want to mess with the cotton picking thing? How about a couple more here? Let's go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Great to hear those pages turn. Just bear with me for just a little while. Now, remember the verses where we started. We're almost done. Remember the verses where we started, where the Lord says to you, don't mess with the book.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And don't privately interpret it.
Amen.
What's the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible.
Amen.
Scripture with Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a work need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible is where you go to for your authority. So you want to go by fact. You don't go by feeling.
Amen.
Feeling gets you in trouble every time.
Right.
And I know we all feel, but you want to go by facts.
Amen.
All right. Are you in Psalms 91? That's it. Psalms 91, verse number, 11. Or thou shalt give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy way. Thou shalt bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot upon a stone. Why do I tell you this? Because the cross reference to that is found over there in Matthew chapter number 4. The Lord is in the wilderness of temptation, and the devil misquotes the Scripture. You know why God put it there? To clarify that was the devil that was tempting him, to show you that the way the devil works is in Genesis 3, yea, hath God said, and he just twists the word a little bit. He quotes it about 80% right. But the Bible's laid out in such a fashion that if you compare that Scripture with that Scripture, you say, oh, well, now, wait a minute, there's a contradiction. No, there's not. In one place, God's talking. The other place, the devil's talking. And right. God is trying to show you that when the devil wants to mess you up, you know what he's going to do? He's going to misquote the Scripture.
Yes, amen.
Do you agree with that?
Yes, sir. Right.
Why would you tolerate a preacher misquoting Scripture to you?
Yes,
that's good.
Now, you just said you believed that's the way the devil works. That's what you said.
Amen.
Why would you tolerate a scholar who says, well, that word means so-and-so?
Amen.
Why would you do that?
Right. Amen.
Miss Lane's officer of the court. And she goes in there and she said, Your Honor, the statute clearly says for, 316.074, I guess it's still that, running a red light. That's what the statute says. And the judge says, well, we've changed that. It doesn't mean running a red light anymore. It means, well, Your Honor, no, it doesn't mean, no, that the statute says, no, we've changed that. And it really doesn't mean running a red light. It means, you see what happens? Your standard goes. Now, there ain't a soul in here that would not stand up in court and say, that's not right. Because when you go to court, you've been charged with one thing, and the burden of proof is on the state to prove that you did according to what the law said you did, and you broke that law. Is that right? But why, when it comes to the Bible, do you know for a fact that's what the devil does, but you just accept it and regular, like, oh, it's really no big deal. It's just the Bible. It's just the Bible? Can I tell you how strong I believe in the Bible? I believe if the Bible was taken away right now, that this whole place would come apart. I believe the words of God are what holds that pew together.
Amen.
You say, no, it's glue. You're a fool.
Right.
It's God's Word holds the universe together.
Amen.
Everything. The nails would go flying out everywhere. The pews would come apart. The foam rubber would separate in the whole nine yards. You say, why? God's Word's holding you. You know what seals your soul to the day of redemption?
Amen.
God's promise to you.
Amen.
Holy Spirit sealed you. Why? Because He said He would.
Yes. Right.
Give you just a few more. Bear with me. Did we read Psalm 91? Yeah, I already gave you that one. All right, come to Proverbs chapter... I already gave you 30. Go to Isaiah 40. That's it. Isaiah 40. Here's your quote that I gave you a little bit earlier. It's in the book of Isaiah. God quotes it, and when He quotes it as it ought to be. Isaiah 40, verse number 8. The Bible says the grass withereth. Does it?
Yes.
It does. The flower fadeth. It does. But the word of our God shall stand. That's an Old Testament passage, ladies and gentlemen. One of the oldest books written in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. You know what he said way back then? He said it'll never go away.
Amen.
You don't have to have a New Testament passage. You were promised that in the Old Testament. You know what really got Eve in trouble? 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Quickly, about 3 or 4 more and we'll be done, okay? 3 or 4 more. 1 Thessalonians 2. You know what got Eve in trouble? When the devil said, yea, hath God said, you know what Eve did? She twisted the Scripture. You know what happened? It made her fall to the devil. Well, it worked for Eve, so you know what the devil thought? Well, what I'll do is I'll mess the Lord up with it. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord didn't say to him, well, that's okay, you misquoted it just a little bit. I'll go ahead and... No, He stopped him in his tracks. Now, why wouldn't you? The Lord says it is written. It is written. It is written. Turn these stones into bread. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Now, Jesus Christ combats the devil with the pure word of God and quotes the Old Testament. Why would you mess with those words?
Amen.
Why would a scholar do that?
To
escape the conviction, to make people feel good about themselves, to keep the church full, to keep the parking lot full, to keep the money coming in. Well, have me delivered.
Amen.
That kind of God's a paper God. He's a fake God. He's a put on. He's got to have His people go out there and deceive people. I'd just soon go to the fair when it comes around once a year on Duval Street. If you're going to do that, I'd just soon not be a Christian. I'd just soon not be affiliated with a church. Heck, can't there be one place there can be some truth? Cotton picking world's full of nothing but lies. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians, I got a second here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. That's it, verse 13. For this cause thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, not as the word of men. Did you get that?
Amen.
When a preacher's preaching the Bible, it is not his word.
Amen.
Now you can, I'm trying to be nice with you, but I'm trying to tell you, when a preacher's preaching the Bible, he is not preaching his words. He's preaching for God. So what he's doing is that's why Bible preaching is so important. That's why they don't do it. They don't exposit a passage. They don't go down, they take a verse over here and say, well, I think how that thing would fit, and the next thing you know, they're off and running. They don't even have a Bible anymore. They just get up, give you a computer and put a screen up thing up there, and then they talk about you, how you feel about this and how do you feel about that. And you know what? They're great preachers. And they're preaching psychological stuff. And they're helping you. And you feel so good and you feel it ain't Bible. It's somebody's opinion. You say, why? Did you think the devil was going to show up and use a Bible? He'll take the Bible and twist it, though, and make it fit you. Notice what he said, when you receive, you hear not as the word of men. You know what I have people say all the time? That's just your opinion. No, the Bible says that's just your opinion. That's just your interpretation. No, there's a way to receive it. You receive it as the Bible, no matter who says it, or you don't. One way or the other. Choice is yours. Some people go to hell over that. Well, that's just your opinion. Okay, all right. What are you going to do with somebody like that? You can't persuade them. If the Holy Ghost can't persuade them through the Bible, what do you think you are? Preacher, you ought to go get them. You ought to go hook them. You ought to go crook them. You ought to go whatever you got to do to get them in. Where's that in the Bible? That ain't what Jesus does. Want to follow me? Well, Lord, I need to go back and see you later. That's what he says. Bye. This ain't for kids. It's time the church understood that we're not in this. We're here to help everyone. We're here to follow Jesus. You understand? See, Christianity's been perverted today. And the perversion is that we're here for the good of the community. No, we're not. We're here to see people not go to hell. And we're here to have you get back from the far country and join into fellowship with Jesus Christ and get something done before the whole world goes to hell in a handbasket. But the modern church is, What's the church doing for the community? Where'd you get that? It ain't in the Bible anywhere. Not unless you pervert it. Well, the Bible says go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Yeah, they're supposed to come in to get saved. But you're not supposed to be a welfare program or a voting machine. My goodness, man. But see, that's become the norm nowadays. So much so that when you go to a church that doesn't do that, you think, that's the most unfriendly church I've ever been. All they did was preach the Bible and sing hymns. They didn't have a single social. I didn't see no coffee cups around there. Where was my donuts? I like them cinnamon twist things. Wow. You think I'm kidding you? That's the norm. Ladies and gentlemen, now this is a Wednesday night crowd, but that's the people come in on Sunday morning. They come in on Sunday morning, they see you singing and shouting and praising the Lord, and then they have a preacher that gets up there and he smacks the pulpit and he gets up and starts hollering. They're like, what's the guy doing? The guy says, I don't know, he's got some kind of book up there. What is that book up there? I don't know what the book is. So I think that's a Bible. Oh my God, he's got a Bible? What are we going to do about that? Where's the follow the bouncing ball? And where's the, oh my God, when are they going to welcome me? Welcome! You know. Do I get a show up gift? That's what they do. They give them coffee cups and they give them pen. You have a pen. You've got one. Get one from out there. We'll give you one. Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God for ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, receive it not as the word of men, but as it was in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that. Key word there is believe. You want to grab a hold of that one. All right. Galatians chapter number 1. Here's a tough one for you. Is there only one way? Well, our dear, sweet, old, sainted Apostle Paul seemed to think so. Dear, kind, sweet soul, Paul. Multiple ways to get to heaven. You know something? This old bird right here, he loved those Jewish people so much he was willing to lay his life down for them. This old soul right here, he said, man, I have need. I want to go to Jerusalem, man. And the Holy Ghost said, you better not, man. I'll tear your head off. And Paul said, I want to go. And then he goes into a city, and he gets stoned and all that, but his people are there, and he gets up and goes back into that city. And it's because he loved those people. But you know what he had to say to those people? I want you to understand the context of what he's fixing to show you in Galatians. He's saying that if anybody comes along and preaches anything different than me, what a narrow-minded, bigoted thing to say. Prejudice. How can he say that? Well, he didn't say it. He said it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Now, don't you think that's arrogant? You know what people do? I give the invitation on Sunday mornings. You people take it for granted. And I say there's one way to get to heaven. You got to believe. You got to admit you're a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess Jesus Christ, not your sin. They say, well, there's more than one way. I say, no, there's only one way. There's only one gospel for us in this age, and that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be. Oh, well, I just think, you know, you have to so and so forth. And I say, you're wrong. And they say, well, you don't know. That's your interpretation. No, it's the Bible.
Amen.
But it only works on those that believe.
Right.
You say, preacher, you're narrow-minded. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, well, Dr. Graham says, you know what the Apostle Paul said. But preacher, you don't understand. Rod Parsley says, Mr. Jake says, how come those birds never give a plain, clear plan of salvation? What's the problem with that? Daggum right they want. You say, why? They got people sitting in their congregation to believe there's another way to be saved, and if they tell them the plain, simple truth of salvation, you know what they say? They're out the door, buddy.
Right.
Just like some of you. You're just looking for a reason to creep out. I'm going to give you one right now. We believe at this church, and if you go contrary, I'll call you out on it.
Amen. That's good.
I will. I'll call you out on it. You say, why? Because you're going to send people to hell with your pride and arrogance. There's some things we're fighting over.
Amen.
You come to a church here, you know what we believe? We believe in salvation by grace through faith.
Amen.
We believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and raised again the third day.
Amen.
Well, I just think, okay, well, keep your thoughts to yourself or I'll out you.
Amen.
You say, why? Would you protect your home from a pervert?
Amen.
I'll protect the church from somebody that perverts the Scripture.
Amen.
See, you're going to put pressure on me to say, well, that's not very nice. No, see, you've got it messed up.
Right.
It's not very nice of them to come to a place that believes that way and try to get me to change my beliefs to fit their feelings.
Right.
I'll not do it.
Right.
Well, you're not going to have many people. Well, that's up to God. That ain't my problem anyway. Verse 8. Are you with me? Galatians 1:8. The Bible says, verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven. That's pretty stout. preach to you any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's the modern interpretation. Let him be damned. Let him go to hell is what he's saying. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now the Apostle Paul's telling you, if somebody comes in and says you're saved by baptism, or you're foreordained or chosen before the foundation of the world, or if you believe that you have to have the initial evidence of baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, or if you believe that you're saved by partaking of the Lord's Supper and drinking the juice, when your preacher gets up and preaches of that stuff, you shouldn't curl up and kind of feel like, well, I don't know why he had to say that. The Apostle Paul clearly said it in the Bible. You know why? Because if somebody believes, ladies and gentlemen, another gospel, they go to hell believing another gospel. You know what you think? Well, I just believe. Then you don't believe the Bible that you just found out that God said He preserved. Paul said it. What was his gospel? Do you know? Death, burial, and resurrection. Had nothing to do with foreordination involved in that. Not a thing. Had nothing to do with works to get it or works to keep it. Had nothing to do with Oshula, Shantai, Untai, Abotai, Economy, Honda. If I say that real fast, you'll think I'm speaking in tongues. Ephesians 4, this will be the last one. I think I got one in 2 Corinthians 11. I'll leave you with this one after a couple of notes. Ephesians 4. Say it with me. There, Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and even as are called in one hope of your calling, one God and Father of all. Is that right? And 500 translations. Can I ask you this question? If there's one of all those things right there, why would you think that there wouldn't be one of these? You know what we call that when I was a detective? We call that a clue. Using the powers of deductive reasoning, we can clearly see that if there's one, have you ever counted how many ones there are there? Anybody? How many? You sure? How many is there? Oh, it's a coincidence that God would use a perfect number to describe something. A complete number. You know how many times the number 7 shows up in the book of Revelation? The ending. Can I ask you a question? If God knew all those ones are going to be there, you don't think He can preserve one book? Well, I hate to tell you, I believe that He can. And if He can't, He's not any kind of God at all. Amen. If He can't preserve a book, I wonder whether or not when He told me He preserved my soul, He could preserve it. Amen. So I hope that helps you. I realize it's been a little bit long tonight, but I think it's important to put that whole thing together. You say, what was that about? That's a sermon on the Bible.
That's good.
Why we believe the Bible. Now, did I give you one verse of, I believe the Bible because of the oldest and best manuscripts? Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, the Latin Vulgate. Did I give you anything on any manuscript evidence at all? What spoke for itself? The words of the book, right? I didn't say, well, I believe this. Some man taught me when I was in Bible school and he showed me this and he showed me this. That's just the Bible speaking for itself. I believe when the Lord said forever, He means forever. When I believe He said it's settled, I believe it's settled. Now, I believe that if you have a problem with that, then you got a problem with the Bible, you got a problem with the Lord. Your problem's not with me, so you can't be dogmatic. Let me make something clear to you, and I'll let you go home. If you're contrary to that, it might be best to keep your feelings to yourself. Because I'm dogmatic on that. You say, why? Everything this church, right now I'm standing on what we built this church on. Underneath this pulpit is that. And I take it personal. When somebody comes in and tries to get people to doubt that. Because the only way you can do it is to take what somebody taught you intellectually to try to overthrow what the Bible says, and I'm not listening to it. You say, well, wow, that's a challenge. Yeah. All right, now let me just show you how carnal you are. somebody's coming to your house tonight. They'll be in about 11:30 and they're planning on doing obscene things to your wife. But don't worry about it. You say, bless God, they come in here. Am I right? You know, I'll get, you know, get the dog. Am I right? Why, when your preacher stands up and says, if somebody comes against that book, I'm going to take personal offense to it, do you think, why does he have to be like that? This is God's house. And so I take it personal when you take our authority away. You know why? I'm selfish. I don't want to be your authority. And you're badly mistaken if you think I do. I'm going to do my best when you come for counseling to tell you what the Bible says and give you any wisdom that God's given me. I'm going to point you to Him and I'm going to point you to His book. And the only way you'll ever be happy is when you settle that thing with Jesus Christ and get saved. And then number two, say, Lord, whether I understand it or not, I believe it. And that's it. That settles it. I'm done. And then you might be able to have a little bit of peace in your life. Because I'm going to keep bringing you back and taking your nose. Come on. Read it. That's everything we are. That's everything we're built on. That's everything this ministry has ever been built on. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not kidding you. The time is coming. It's already happening. Where when I mention that, they're like, well, you take that well and go dig it somewhere else. You're not that important that I'm going to disrupt an entire, and spend time arguing with you over what the Bible says because you're not sure about it. We're sure about it.
Amen.
And so, you know, well, you ought to be more. I'm telling you now, just letting you know, don't bring somebody in here if you think I'm going to be tolerant of that. I'm not.
Amen.
I'll be glad to talk with them in the name of Jesus. But when all's said and done, I'm going to tell them this. Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Right.
You're going to jail. Jesus' jail. Amen. All right, let's stand together and be dismissed. Thank you for staying tonight. Thank you for putting up with the comic relief. Yeah, amen, Brother Mitch. Hallelujah. Glad to see your hand up there.